Hello, I'm John Burns, and this is my podcast for folk who like the outdoors in Scotland, or pretty well anywhere else for that matter. My guest today going to talk about the early exploration of Yosemite. I think rock climbers and mountaineers are very interested in the history of their sport, how it evolved, and the climbing in the 40s, 50s, and 60s in Yosemite, I think, was a major step forward. I've invited Dennis Gray along to talk about his experiences there, a man with considerable insights into this very significant period in mountaineering history. Hello, Dennis, how are you?
Well, absolutely hanging
Well,
on.
that's in itself an achievement, isn't it? Well, perhaps if you could tell us a bit about Yosemite, describe it for people who have never been there or perhaps they've never even heard of it.
Well, in 1965, Roy Robbins and his wife Liz came to stay with my parents in North Leeds. And Roy is one of the great pioneers of climbing in Yosemite. Did the first ascent of some of the big climbs, also the very first solo climb of El Capitan on his own of the Muir Wall. And we, of course, went climbing. We went climbing on Yorkshire Gripstone and so forth. I managed to rally some of my friends together, Tony Valley, Don Merrill. And during this time when Roy was with me, I had all the stories about Yosemite, and so was so keen to go there. And so in 1966, I was leading a trip to Peru, climbing the Cordillera Blanca. All the climb was about was not only to do the first ascent of a mountain ridge from the north of Mayo, it was to pull it. And the film was very successful. We had Ned Kelly was part of the team, and the film went on to win at Toronto. And after the expedition in Peru, I managed to get a plane from Lima, which was going to Mexico City. And unfortunately, it was only twin engine, and one of the engines caught fire, and there was a forced landing in Iquitos on the edge of the Amazon. And eventually, I got another plane a few days later, which took me to Mexico City. And in Mexico City, I had no money. I ran out of money. And I was relying on people I met there. And I thought my idea of going to Yosemite was still at the forefront. And I set off hitchhiking. I thought, I'll get there in 2 or 3 days to Yosemite. And of course, I hadn't realized how long it would take. It took me 10 days to hitchhike from Mexico City to Yosemite, which is in Northern California. It's about 3 to 4 hours east of San Francisco. And on my last lift, I hitchhiked all night in a place called Fresno. An American driver took pity on me and went 90 odd miles up the way and ran me to Yosemite Park. And I wandered into the park. And eventually, I found the campsite which the climbers used camp for. It was the only campsite which they could use, and most of them hadn't even got a tent. They were just sleeping out there in an old car or sleeping out rough. And there was some of the young climbers who eventually became very famous: Mark Clemens, Frank Thatcher, Chris Fredericks. All of them went on to have stellar careers climbing in Yosemite. Unfortunately, I obviously got very, very tired. And around the campsite at Camp 4, there's a lot of boulders, and there's a lot of boulders being developed. This was still in the very early days of Yosemite climbing, 1966. We've been told, of course, when I first heard about Yosemite, that many of the climbs had been pioneered by using artificial means, which was not true. You found out there were very good free rock climbers. And I got really, really tired being taken around on the bouldering site. I managed to pack my mantle. I managed Rollins Crack, but I failed miserably on the Cor Wall. I couldn't even start it. Eventually, I did meet Lincoln Cor and climb with him. Few years later, in Arizona, and I found that he was a giant. He's about 6 foot 5, 6 foot 6, and he had a reach, had the longest reach of any climber I ever met. And so this is why it was doing boulder problems that very few other people could do. Anyhow, I wandered away and went up to the hotel where there was a bar, and propping the bar up was these two climbers, two people I recognized as climbers. And eventually I introduced myself, and one was a guy called Chuck Austin, and the other guy was called Pratt, Chuck Pratt. And Chuck Pratt was acknowledged at the time in 1966 as the leading rock climber in America. And I was so lucky meeting him. I'd arranged to go climbing the next day, first day climbing there with Mark Clemens. And many of the climbs, of course, have not been done many times. The climbing in Yosemite has started actually in the 50s, not like in this country where climbing started 100 years ago. The climbing was still pretty new, although, for instance, many of the boulder problems that came were famous. For instance, one of the boulder problems at Camp 4 is called Midnight Lightning. It was done in 1954 by Ronnie Cork, and it's probably the most famous boulder problem in Yosemite. Anyhow, our next week, I climbed with Pratt. I climbed the Cathedral Fires. I climbed on El Capitan with him. There are many climbs on El Capitan that don't go to the top. They only go part way. The history of climbing is very interesting in Yosemite. The first real breakthrough happened in 1957 when Roy Robbins led the northwest base of Half Dome. And then in 19, a year later, 50, it would be 57, sorry, it would be 1958. Warren Harding did the Northern El Capitan, and that was probably the most famous rock climb ever in America. In fact, he got an award after his death from the House of Representatives.
Really? Well, and were these multi-day routes in those days?
It took on the nose of El Capitan. Warren Harding tried many times. He was on the wall for many, many days before he finally succeeded. And for instance, when Chouinard, Yvon Chouinard, did climb with T.M. Herbert the Muir Wall on El Capitan, it took him 8 days. They were climbing for 8 days.
And would
And
they like
so,
bivouac on the route, or did they?
yes, he bivouacked on the climbs,
Right,
yeah.
right.
And many of the climbs were hanging. And of course, the equipment hadn't been developed then like it has now. Now
Yes.
there's water ledges and, it's all different gear now. Whereas these were early days. And of course, he was a pretty wild character, Warren Harding. I got to know him quite well. And for instance, one night at the campsite of Camp 4, Chuck Pratt was making a big Dixie of what they call Teton tea. What they do is they pour in red wine and then they stick in liquors and all sorts of things, very alcoholic. I never met Warren at this time. And out of the night, which was dark, suddenly this maniacal figure appeared, running, dived over the fire, turned back, came back, and grabbed his Dixie with the Teton tea, got to lot of mouthful, put it back on the stove, and ran away. And I said to Chuck Pratt, "Who the hell is that? Who's that maniac?" And he said, "That is Warren Harden."
I see.
Anyhow, I got to know Warren quite well. And the next day, he turned up on the campsite and he climbed with Chuck Pratt and myself, and we did a route together. And I was amazed to find that he worked. He had a job, and he was a surveyor for California, for the state of
All right.
California. He had a job. And so he had to leave us at lunchtime to go to work.
Well, it sounds like most of the climbers, I suppose, survived on virtually no money, just climbing full time. Is that right?
Well, what was incredible in the group in Yosemite was they were nearly all either students, like Thatcher was reading atomic theory at Caltech,
Right.
and Chuck had been reading physics at Berkeley at the University in San Francisco, but he dropped out to climb. And so they were a bit like that. And of course, they were living on Camp 4, which was very basic
Yeah.
at that time. Some of them didn't even have a tent, they just slept out. But the weather, of course, Californian weather was very good. You knew it wouldn't rain for many days.
Right. That's a major advantage, isn't it? You know? And
Yeah.
were there many, obviously there were lots of Americans there. Were there many UK climbers there, or were you the
No,
only one?
I was one of the very first foreigners. That was the difference. And so they sort of all the times hung around me because I was the very first foreigner they'd ever met.
Oh, right.
Time. And of course, it changed after that. Yosemite became absolutely famous all over the world.
Yes.
But the very first time that was said of El Capitan was by Warren Harding. After that, there were several first ascents, and the really, really famous one was the Salathe Wall. And Chuck Pratt led the hard sections on the Salathe Wall. Salathe was a Swiss who came to California and was one of the first climbers in Yosemite. He climbed there in the very early 50s.
And what about the kind of techniques that you were developing there? I mean, I believe that they were using
Well, a
pitots,
big
weren't they?
breakthrough was the making of hard steel pegs.
Right.
Up to the climbing in Yosemite, the fittings that were made in Europe were made of soft steel. And
Right.
when you drove them into the rock, they bent over and twisted and so forth. And they were no good for protection on granite.
Right.
And they developed hard steel pegs, chrome molybdenum was it they were made from. And the person who was most responsible was Yvon Chouinard. Of course, Chouinard, he was a dirtbag climber then, he became a billionaire. And he was Patagonia.
Oh, right.
And what he did about 2 years ago, he made Patagonia a trust, and all the money and shares and everything was put into the trust. And this trust is to do conservation every year. This
Oh,
is
I didn't
what it
know
was
that.
for,
Right.
conservation.
That's it.
He's very keen on conservation. But what's very interesting about Chouinard was he said the two best climbers he ever saw and was with was Chuck Pratt and Joe Brown. He
Right.
came to Britain and climbed in Wales, and he climbed with Joe, and he said he was the best climber with Pratt he'd ever met.
Right. Did Joe Brown go to Yosemite?
No, they climbed in Wales.
Oh, right. I would have thought it would have been drawn there,
No,
you know.
I don't think he ever went to Yosemite.
Oh, right.
The people who really started going there are very keen. Pete Livesey, Ron Fawcett, John Searle, a generation after me.
Right, I know the kind of next generation of climbers, but in many ways he was sort of the pioneer from Britain in a way. I suppose a climbing
Well,
ambassador.
when I arrived at Camp 4, this group of young climbers said, "Oh, Brian said Ron Robinson told us to wait for you. You're arriving." And I felt very, very small to be reckoned to be standing for my national team.
I see, I see.
There are certainly better climbers than me back in Britain.
I see. Yeah, but it's I mean, well, to be quite honest, what age were you when you actually first went there then?
I'd be in my 20s, late 20s,
Your late 20s, but you were already a pretty experienced climber by then, weren't you?
I'd climbed all over the place. I'd been in the Himalayas. I'd also climbed a lot in Europe on the Dolomites and so forth. I'd
Yeah.
climbed with Joe in the Dolomites and in the Alps.
So you've done an awful lot by then, you know. And so what techniques were developed in terms of equipment and strategies on the on these big faces?
Well, they developed very much, the knowledge of doing big climbs, wall climbs, and for instance, when you're doing a route like just so like the nose and I'll cut it down,
Yes.
there's certain sections where there's no ledges to sleep on, and
Right.
so it's a big thing developing portal ledges.
Right. Okay.
You at the end of the day, you could lay them out and sleep in them. Yeah.
And so, what for you was the most memorable route that you think that you climbed there?
The Kakatacha was then known as the hardest crack climb in Yosemite.
Right.
And what happened was, when I was climbing with Chuck Pratt, I did some very hard climb with him, but didn't realize they were hard. That hard. For instance, two climbs, one called Cow and the other called Calf. And
Right.
it wasn't until afterwards, and I was in Israel with Lifty. We went to Israel to do climbing courses. We ran climbing courses in a
Oh,
place
right.
called
Okay.
Wadi Adim in the Sea of Galilee. And we were talking about Yosemite, and I mentioned I'd done these two climbs on El Cap with Chuck Pratt. And Lifty was gobsmacked. He can't claim that one, at that time, they were the hardest route of that kind in Yosemite. And I didn't realize because I was climbing with him because he was so good.
Yeah.
And we could see from a climb I was doing with him, these other climbers, two climbers on route. And he said to me, "That's TM Herbert with his partner, Gorty Webster, and they're doing a new route." Anyhow, he said, "You must meet TM. He is, everybody acknowledged, he is the funniest guy in American climbing." And of
Oh.
course, the next day I met TM, and immediately he was he never stopped. It was so funny. And he was a bit like Wilms, very assertive, his talent. And so he said, "I'm going to take over and guide you, and we're going to climb with him." And so I climbed with him. And I climbed with him for about a week, 8 days, and did every day I did a climb on Monday with the crack at Thatcher. And it was the hardest crack climb in Yosemite at the time. Thatcher had done the first ascent, and it was really, really hard. It's all finger jamming, hand jamming,
Yeah.
jamming, and the Yosemite cracks are unbelievable. There's so many of the cracks, it's so difficult and so strenuous. Yeah,
That's
off with the cracks, they really are masters of crack climbing. Yeah,
And so there sounds to have been a very, very strong community of climbers there. Is that true?
they were at that time, they were all younger. And for instance, last night I led the troop, read the tribute that Roy Robbins made when Chuck Pratt died. And you nearly broke down and cried. It was, they were such good friends.
Yeah.
They did the first ascent to the Lake of the Wall together. There's Pratt, Robbins, Tom Frost, and the three of them. And memories like that stuck. And Robbins wasn't that kind of person when you met him. He was very, very, he was almost, very constrained, his attitude. For
Right.
instance, when he stayed at my parents, most of the evenings had spent playing chess.
Oh, right.
He's very, very serious.
I see. I see. And
Yeah.
you've written about these climbs in two of your books. There's Rope Boy and Mountain Lover, I think. Those your
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
first two books. Is that's right, isn't it? And are there
Yeah.
sections in both of them about Yosemite, or just one?
I think mainly that Yosemite is in Mountain Lover because it
Right.
came
That's your later book, isn't it?
doing because it's not just Yosemite, it's other things in North America. Like I went there in the early 70s and climbed with Fritz Wiesner, who was very famous. He was originally from Germany.
All right.
and nearly climbed K2, first ascent.
Right.
Unfortunately, he was with a Sherpa. The conference became detached, and on the summit, they didn't make the summit because the Sherpa lost his conference. They were in a few hundred. That was in 1939 on K2.
Wow.
But
Okay.
I picked Reisner, discovered the Chongoks, which are just north, 80 miles north of New York. And they're so popular, and there's such a range of cliffs, the Chongoks. And I climbed within. I climbed on the traps and on another area, the pits. But the Yosemite climbs, you must realize that, for instance, in the 60s, the idea of climbing in Yosemite and then climbing, say, in the east and in Chongqing something, it wasn't on because they were separated by such a distance, yeah.
Yeah,
And
so we're
so,
talking about thousands of miles, really, aren't we?
yeah. And Chuck Pratt would every year for a few years would come into Yosemite in the beginning of the season and camp there for several months at Camp Four. And
Right.
climb every day, could you?
Right. I mean, he
He
must
was,
have had incredible skill for
yeah.
climbing that much. I mean, that's quite a feat, really,
And
isn't it?
eventually, he became a guide in Wyoming.
Oh, right.
Chuck,
Right.
he died, became a Buddhist, and he was in Thailand, in a small place by the Mekong River in north of Thailand, and he had a heart attack. Yeah, he was
Oh, wow.
only 61 when he died. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it sounds amazing. I mean, it's quite a, you talk about these things quite casually, but they sound amazing
But I
routes.
was so lucky because T.M. Herbert, Chuck Pratt, and Roy Robbins were probably three of the most amazing climbers in America at the time. And the golden age of Yosemite climbing is acknowledged as from the late 50s to the 70s. Yeah. And
Right.
they were the most active climbers, yeah.
So a period of maybe something like 12, 15 years, something like that,
Yeah,
really.
yeah. And they did many, many first ascents of things like and Warren Harding, of course. Warren came and stayed with us in Geysley, climbing with me on Gritstone. And a funny story was I soloed ahead of him this hard BS, thinking, oh, the guy who climbed the north and I've got to down with him, no problem. And of course, he had never climbed on Gritstone and he didn't realize how good the friction was. And he got stuck on this climb. And what you had to do was just put your foot high and rock over. And he couldn't bring himself to do this move. And I was shouting down because I was sat at the top and I now beginning to get wood because the landing was terrible. If he'd fallen off, he would be lucky not to really hurt himself. And eventually he managed to do it. And he met me on the top of the climb. And he said, you know, Dennis, he said, I've got to do something about this. He said, I've either got to do more of this kind of climbing or less of it.
Very good.
And that was
That's
Warren Harding. And of
you
course,
certainly impressed him by the sound of it. Listen, we're running out of time. It's been an
yeah.
absolute pleasure talking to you and hearing about the adventures that you had. In such a great place, and I'll put links to your books on the page for this
Well, I'm not
podcast.
certain that either of them are available, only if you
Oh,
get
they're
second hand.
not. I shall find out, and if they are, I'll
It's
put it
so
up.
long since they were printed. The book which is available now is the essays book.
Oh, the
Essays
Essays on the Edge. Yes,
Essays on the Edge, yeah.
we talked about that. It's a great book.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much and good luck.
Thank
Good
you.
climbing. Yeah.